And take a copy of the Word of God and turn to Jude. We've been making our way through the New Testament in our scripture readings, and we're now at the book of Jude. We'll only be here 1 week, and we'll be reading the entire chapter, the verses 1 through 25 of Jude, an often neglected book, and yet very important for us. It's very similar, actually, to 2 Peter. So you might notice some similarities as we read. But this is the Word of God, more importantly, that He brought to us through the servant Jude. This is the Word of God. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. May mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long before marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. And angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode, He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as these, indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same way, these men also, by dreaming, defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the air of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these men that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of His holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly and of all their ungodly deeds which they have done in an ungodly way and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. These are grumblers, finding faults, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, 'In the last time there will be mockers, following after their own ungodly lusts.' These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." And that is the Word of God. Verse 3, if you look back, verse 3. Well, first, as I was reading verse 1, the end of verse 1, very comforting word to those who are called beloved in God and kept for Jesus Christ. Remember that, beloved, that you are kept for Jesus. But verse 3 shows us Jude's longing to write to the church about their common salvation, about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the need for faith in it, and salvation by it from their sins. And yet there's a great problem in the church that he needs to address. And so we see verse 4, certain evil persons have crept in unnoticed. Those who profess faith yet are ungodly persons, showing themselves not to be true believers in Christ, and yet they're in the church. And this is why Jude must address this problem instead of focusing on their common salvation. In verses 5 through 7, Jude warns against listening intently to such evil people and following after them by giving the example of the unbelievers in Egypt. The Lord destroyed those who did not believe, even amongst Israel, who we might say were part of the church, the visible church. Do not follow after them by giving. He gives the example of these people in Egypt, the unbelievers and the fallen angels, and he gives the example of Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened to them all? They were destroyed eternally by the eternal fire. Don't listen or follow such people. Look to whom he associates them with. The devil. Cain. The heir of Balaam. And you hear the description of them in verses 12 and 13. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves. They're prideful. Clouds without water, carried along by winds. Autumn trees without fruit. They're fruitless. Doubly dead. Uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up their own shame, like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. And then the quote from Enoch about the judgment, the Lord with thousands of holy ones, he's coming for such people to bring judgment upon them, to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly for all their ungodly deeds because they do them in ungodly ways. Verse 16, these are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. A very different call to the Christian is what we'll find in Genesis than these ungodly people. And then he says, but you, beloved, contrasting you with those people, those ungodly people, but you, beloved, you need to remember. You need to remember God's Word. 2 Peter 3, in the last time there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. And these are the ones who cause divisions. They're the ones who are worldly minded. They're devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, you are called to persevere in the faith. You are called to be fervent in prayer and be watchful of such people, but also be watchful against falling from the love of God. Always love God. Have a lively hope of eternal life, that you will have eternal life in Christ alone. He says in this, he's calling you to be merciful to those who are struggling in the faith. There are people who are struggling in the faith in our congregation. Build them up as you would build yourselves up in the Word. Give them God's Word then and pray for them. Pray with them. Beloved, Jude writes to warn his audience, of which we are his audience. We are the church. We're the ones who are called. Watch out for such ungodly people who attempt to creep in unnoticed amongst us. Watch and pray, as we hear in Matthew. And then he gives the doxology of the benediction, a blessing to his people. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling like these ungodly people, and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, he's going to keep you, he's going to bring you in. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. That's why we worship the Lord. Let's pray to Him. Our Father, we thank You that You are a God who keeps us. You are the God who watches over us. You are a strong tower, our fortress, our rock. You are God Almighty. And by the word of Your power, You spoke into existence all of creation. And You are the God who loves us and is faithful to us. And all Your promises that You've made, we've seen many so far in Genesis, we've seen many in the Psalms, as we read through them during prayer meeting each week, we see who You are. You're God who's infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in Your being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And Lord, we come to worship You. We come to give glory to Your name. And let us not be counted amongst these ungodly, and therefore have Your judgment come down upon us. But that today, this day, we would turn from our sin, that we would turn in faith to Jesus Christ, every single one of us here. There's not one day that we do not need to believe in the Savior and in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for us, and His being buried and rising up from the dead, giving us and securing our eternal life. And now, because we are in union with Him, we also have this great promise that we will reign with Him. And so, Father, we come owing all of our lives to You. And we ask again that You would cause each one here, even the littlest of children, to believe that they would not be like those wandering in the wilderness like Israel and who did not believe and then subsequently who were judged. Lord, we do not desire that for any of our children or any of the adults here who do not know You. And we desire salvation for them and life eternal for them. And so we pray that You would give it and You would build us up, those who are doubting, those who are struggling in their faith. Build them up this day by Your word and by Your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.